Ladies and gentlemen, I am joined by my friend, my companion, my duo. You guys already know who it is. He's a staple to the Call of Duty scene. The one, the only, coming to you live from South Carolina on vacation. Benjay Nassim, let's get a win in the chat, guys.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Sorry for the cam angle, guys. It might be a little bit laggy, but Tom, I am having a great day. Just to get in advance of your question, I know you're going to always ask that.
Yep.
It was a long drive today, but I got in, got settled here on vacation for a week, so it's going to be vibey and nice. But besides that, Tom, you know, we had another day of just a lot of matches, a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to get in with you.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, Listen, man, my predictions were way off for today. Everything was wrong. All my predictions are wrong. I'm pretty sure all your predictions were wrong. Everybody was pretty much wrong yesterday.
I didn't make any predictions, but it's all good.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, well, you weren't there. Right. You were not there.
You were replacing with Donnie Tam.
But I think that you would have predicted the same way I predicted. I think you would have went the same way. A lot of toss-ups today.
I might not have picked... I actually don't know what I picked for the first series. Optic LAD. I would have 100%
picked. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Listen, guys, definitely some games we did not expect today. If Ben's camera is lagging a little bit, it's okay, guys. He's coming live from vacation. As long as we can hear him properly, which, I think he sounds great. That's all that really matters to me. So ignore the laggy webcam. I know it might be a little annoying, but listen, Ben's taking time out of his day on vacation to do the show. So we definitely want to give
because I enjoy doing the show with you, Tom, and I enjoy
thank you, Ben,
vibing with you and our dedicated listeners every single day we do this show. It's always fun.
Listen, man, I mean, even yesterday we had a great show. Definitely missed you. I was telling the chat, I know I like to troll a lot and say fuck you, Ben, I'm flipping you off before the show. I mean, guys, I see people saying be nice to Ben. That's me and Ben are best friends, man.
We're not nice to each other, but
it's part of the gimmick, man. We fuck around. I'm always cooking them and shit, you know. I've known Ben for a really long time, man, so you know that's what friends do. We like to mess around and have some fun, so don't take it the wrong way. It's just how I like to have fun and act. That's just who I am. And Ben's not that innocent, okay? This guy likes to talk shit, too. He just doesn't talk a lot of shit on the show. He keeps it behind the scenes.
I'm a lot more free-flowing outside the show.
Ben's a wild one. All right. But listen, guys, I want to get right into it. I think Enable will be joining us today. I think Study also might be joining us. He said that he would join. Actually, I see him in the other call. Let's drag him in.
Jim, let's come in here.
Jay, are you there?
What's good, Jay?
Jay?
I'm here. My mic is muted. Hello.
What's going on, Jay? Let's get a woody for my man Study.
Let me link you this.
What's going on, Jay? We're gonna link you to watch together.
You can vibe.
Oh, I'm down to watch it again.
How was your day?
Oh, it's my day?
Yeah.
My day was great. You know, some unexpected matches.
Yeah.
I feel like today was a day full of upsets, bro. I just can't wait for you guys to get into it. For us to get into it, this is gonna be a good episode.
Wanna get it going?
Let's get it going, man. Let's switch screens. I was just trying to hide the URL, but when I do hit F11 and hide the URL, because a lot of people were telling me to do that, I can't go in and out of full screen. It won't let me go full screen. It's very weird. I just make sure I'll switch scenes so I don't show anything before the listenings. Kind of annoying, but what are you gonna do? You know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But let's get right into it, man. We kick things off today with the London Royal Ravens going up against the Paris Legion. Listen, these are two of the bottom of the barrel teams, let's be honest, at the bottom of the league right now. I don't know how much you want to deep dive into the series, Ben. I think me and you talked about not really spending too much time on these. But we could talk about it a little bit because it did go all the way down to a map 5, round 11. So definitely a close series here. I think Paris have been showing some life a little bit, but today they ended up crumbling. It went all the way to a last map and it ended up crumbling for them, and they ended up losing the series. So definitely some frustrations coming out of the Paris camp, especially because apparently they could have got winner's bracket if they won this match. They
definitely could have.
Which is crazy. I mean, Paris could, you know, they were in a good spot. There is a listen-in here, so I think we should go into the listen-in and see how Paris sound.
Yep.
One time and a lot of playing stairs in time.
Play stairs, one shot, right, time.
After one shot playing stairs. You hear him sliding?
I'll snake over time.
One top in.
Shot on time.
One top in.
One P5 pillar and one on exit stairs.
Got your afro.
I don't miss it,
that's him. We throw shit at him. Stairs.
I already free mine.
Yep, I'm doing it.
Is that playing stairs?
Yep, I'm flash on Benny. You're down on Benny. You come left.
Absolute.
Go flash on hill.
Both top in on me. Watching over on time. Mode window.
Mode window.
Nice.
Mode window. Let's go fight. Let's go there.
That playing stairs.
Get that time.
You guys keep your gun up.
Wrong, man. Yeah, I'm coming up.
That's stairs, you left.
Afro
off.
Stairs, stairs. Stay on time. I'm on the B5 pillar.
Dead. On the pillar. Yo, one to exit.
Afro low.
Afro's one shot.
I need a low left.
B5 pillar. Gotta get in now.
Yep.
You're gonna beat us now, actually.
Looking low, right? At the top right. One top table already.
I'm from top left wing.
Watch.
What's top table?
Low right, Afro, one shot. Dead.
Nice.
Nothing P4.
Check this out.
I'm going
left.
Lay down. I'm on you. Low left wing.
What's
inner
weakest
shit. Don't chop him left wing.
Inner weakest shit, bro.
He's table.
Top table hurt. Alex, dude, there.
Don't even push you. That dude. I spawn out.
One more. Paul weak.
I'm begging about useless.
Paul weak table.
Don't worry about left. Michael fucking hill.
Yeah. Begging it useless.
I'm looking at that pinch.
Alright, you don't hurt.
I needed it.
He has a trophy.
Blast me in the Batman, fuck you.
You're dead.
Nice.
Outer.
In blue. Johnny's on blue pallet. Johnny's blue pallet.
On the trophy table.
Enter. Small storage.
Enter dead.
Got him. Good pinch.
I'm gonna get you playing pinch now.
He's top exit stairs. You're ready? I'm charging.
Hit again.
Now I'm missed.
Charles, quite a frustrated listening by the sound of things for Paris.
So listen, I'm definitely all over the place here. Listen, I think, the listening from Paris lacked a little bit of passion. I apologize for running the fuck. I just ran the intro for half a second. Listen, we're starting the show all over again. But I think Paris definitely lacking a little bit of passion. Definitely can hear the frustrations a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this team is kind of chalked up at this point. I saw somebody say it in the chat, and I personally agree with him. I think Aqua's pretty underrated, man. I feel like people, again, like he kind of goes under the weather a little bit. Like people don't really talk about him too much. He's had some ups and downs throughout the year. He started off the year really hot. In the middle, he was kind of, you know, falling off a little bit. The Paris team was falling off in general as a team. But I think even today, you know, he was doing his thing. I just like Aqua. I think he's a good player. And he actually came out today. And Jay, I don't know if you saw, or Ben, I don't know if you guys saw, but he dropped this on the timeline today after the match. He said, my last league match of the season, maybe career, because who knows what can happen with the Friendship League, but let's turn the hell up. And I'm curious to get your opinions and your thoughts on this tweet.
Yeah, I saw that. So, yeah, obviously, you know, from me being a pro player, I know exactly what that tweet is like.
Yeah.
But if I'm Aqua in this situation, it's kind of tough, and it really is, because he was found on this Paris roster. They didn't see a lot of success this year. So now he's definitely putting his focus into next year, and that's just what basically the league has turned into, man. I remember back in the day, people were just getting picked up just because they were good friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Aqua, I feel like he's not that guy to go out there and make friendships. So it's going to be really difficult for him to try to, you know, put a team together or at least get on a good team.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. I mean,
it does. So it definitely does make sense.
It's just kind of like, you know, Aqua is that guy who kind of just stays to himself. You know, he's not really talking to people. I mean, in terms of like himself as a player, I mean, I would hope that he has an agent that's like kind of doing things for him, talking to teams, like making sure that, you know, he's, because in order to make a team too, you got to talk to people. Like you have 100%. To reach out to people. I mean, that's just part of it. Like you got to be able to communicate with people and try and build something great. I do respect the fuck out of Aqua. I think he's a great player. And I think this year he's been doing his thing. Obviously Paris lost today, but Ben, what were your thoughts?
I think my thoughts on the tweet, so I want to talk about the tweet and we can talk about the game. You know, my thoughts on his tweet, like, he's now in year two of being on that kind of, like, leftovers, sort of funky, maybe doesn't always fit together team. And I can totally understand it's kind of taking a toll on him. The only thing I'll say is, like, I don't know who makes the decisions in terms of the Paris roster, so I don't want to speak. It's hard to say this without knowing that context. But, you know, they had some players on the team who had that good work ethic and that good practice mindset, and they did send them packing. Look, I know that Classic hasn't put up the best numbers, Fire hasn't put up the best numbers in stints, but, you know, from all I've heard about both players, their work ethic's there. So I think that's – I feel bad for the guys who are kind of on the cut line, maybe on the league, and he's going to have to kind of grind and see what opportunities show up for him next season if this Paris team doesn't stick. In terms of the game, though, Tom, I felt like Paris had a really good opportunity to maybe take this one, and I felt like, especially in that map 5, and we'll watch it, just – a little bit of a lack of cohesion with the team. They had a really good opportunity in that round 11 to set up a really nasty pinch, and it just never came in time. I think that's pretty much the story of Paris' season in a nutshell there.
Go ahead, Jay, if you had something to say.
I don't want to jump the shit, but yeah, that game 5, at least for me, I even tweeted out after that. It all just came down to they went for the super long flanks, but it just took a little longer than they expected. And if they just were a little quicker on those, I feel like they would have been able to close it out.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, they had that one with Don. That was a couple rounds before that, too. sort of a similar situation. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I just want to say I definitely want to watch it back because, unfortunately, during this series, I had stuff that I had to take care of. So it was hard for me to watch the first series. So I definitely wanted to watch it back with you. Ben, I was texting you. You were telling me you were watching and that there's a lot of stuff that you saw that you wanted to talk about. So I definitely want to see what you're talking about and take a look. but just looking at it, I feel like these teams are pretty evenly balanced. You know, just bottom of the barrel, just going back and forth. I think a lot of these guys now are just playing for themselves, right? Playing for their pride. Like, they're trying to show that they should be here, you know, be in the league. I think that's mainly what it is. I know a lot of people didn't even want us to talk about this series. They wanted us to skip over it. But I think it's good to highlight some of these players because I do think there's good players here. You know what I'm saying? Even at the teams at the bottom of the barrel, there's definitely some really talented players, especially for me, Afro, and Paul Lex on the other side. You know, for London, I think those guys have been doing their thing. I've said it time and time again. And then on Paris, you know, from top to bottom, we have some well-named players, man, except for maybe Zap, who kind of just fell into this team midway through the year. And he honestly has been doing his thing. You know, he's definitely got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of aggression to his gameplay. So I think he's been helping them out a little bit. But, you know, Donnie even was on the show yesterday, and he said that he thinks they're the best at the bottom of the barrel. And today, London showed that they can compete. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this was a good matchup, even though it's two bottom of the barrel teams.
I feel like for London, of the bottom teams, right? Them, Seattle, LAG, and then Paris. I feel like London's probably the most set up in terms of pieces for next season. I think I speak to that, like what you said. Like, I think especially Afro and Paul are good enough to play with the best in this league. And I think their plan going forward then is what players can you surround with that? Does someone like Zero come back and play to be that glue or bring some extra slang for them to kind of take then step up another tier or two to be a real contending team next season? I think they're going to be a team to watch what they do the offseason here shortly.
Ben, that's like such a big question mark to me too, is what's going on with Trey? You know, what's going on with Zero? Because they had him in the beginning of the year, and he didn't even have a chance to play.
Yeah,
he didn't even have a chance. They had him at the start of the year. Clearly, they wanted to play with him. I mean, that's the guy they went to. That's the guy they signed. And they just couldn't get him over here somehow. I mean, he just couldn't make his way here. At this point, maybe there was a period of time where midway through the year they ended up just chalking him up. Maybe they just didn't want to play with him. Because I feel like by now, maybe, listen, I know COVID was a serious thing this year, but nobody else had a problem. Even New York, right, like getting people here, it might take time, but I think eventually they got here. I'm curious to know what's going on with Trey Zero and if he can get here and if they're going to put him back into the lineup and give him another go next season. Zero's a good player too, Ben.
On that front, I think he came on the show a while back and said that, like, basically the issue boiled down to, and I've heard this from a couple different people, is for certain visas, you've got to go ahead and get an interview or go to the embassy, and that's an appointment-only situation.
Yeah.
And because there's not as many bodies and there's a lot of requests, those appointments are months out, so the timeline on that is a little bit difficult. I think when he was on the show, he kind of explained that. It was really unfortunate because I think Trey would have helped him a lot in the beginning of the year. But I'm curious to see, you know, he's good enough to be on a CDL roster. I'm curious to see where he comes back to. I want to talk a little bit about this round 11 at a time.
Yeah, let's talk about the round 11. And give a quick shout out to Paul X. Going to the round 11, 14-6, while the rest of his team is negative or even. So this guy's literally putting him in the backpack, this map. So you got to give the props over there. You know, you got to give it to Paul X. But go ahead, Ben. Let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, London was up. They were up like 5-2, 5-3, I think, in this map.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris able to come back. Donnie, we've seen this time and time again. London went to this 2-middle look a couple of times. I think this chow from Dawn kind of a little unfortunate. He doesn't have really a chance here to get across.
I don't know if that was a chow or if that was just please. I mean,
he's just trying to get across, but they're not sliding together as a team to try and like shoot this guy down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Not even Everybody's a shimmy.
No, he just goes.
No shimmy, no nothing, Jay. I mean, this guy thought he was Superman.
Was sitting there in the green room. We're sitting like, Don, are you serious? we were talking about rogue. This yesterday. You got to play your life. Like, we were roasting other people for going rogue, and then you come out and do that 5-5? come on, man.
Big Don, man, going a little rogue. Listen, there was a lot of mistakes, too, that I thought I tried to catch. I mean, I was talking to Donnie a little bit. Definitely some frustrations coming out of the camp, of course. But I think right there, maybe he just didn't expect anybody from London to be pushed up, and he got caught. But the same thing
from Yuli there. Go ahead. You know, in a round 11 situation, like, you're just going to want to, like, do something as a team.
Yes.
And I think this round, they basically – I know they lost Don in the beginning, but play your numbers, man. Try and trade situations where you have more than one person. I think this is kind of a tough shot from Yuli. It's not easy to gun someone out of a cop window and he hasn't really had a chance to screw up in this gunfight. And then at this point, it's a 4v2. Like,
this round is over. They get the blood. They get another one. I mean, at this point, yeah, you use the numbers, you push him out. Paris at this point has to try and make individual plays, and they have nowhere to go. I mean, look at Zap.
Yeah.
He's a sitting duck, and it's all over London. They're able to take a 2-0 lead versus Paris. I thought this one after this, especially a team like Paris, I thought the series might have been chalked. But, Ben, that was not the case. You know, it ended up going all the way to map number 5. So kind of talk to me a little bit what happened in this control and the next hard point. How did Paris adapt? How did they bounce back? What happened here in this control? And we're in a raid control, by the way, for those listening.
There's a lot of round trades. Interestingly, I think, like, the momentum in this kind of swung. The fourth round, Paris did a really good job on defense, kind of pending London back. I thought this was a crazy – I don't think I've ever seen this. Round five in a raid control where everybody chows middle.
Wow, interesting.
Literally all eight players. They're actually kind of crazy. But Paris is going to go ahead and actually win all four gunfights.
Wow.
That
sets the tone right off the rip, right? You set the tone. You get four clean dead, instantly have them pinned right off the rip. Listen, Alex again struggling, double negative. Yuli again, double pause, frying. I feel like we're starting to see like the same outcomes with a lot of these players. You know what I'm saying? Some of these guys are struggling. Akko's having himself a mat. But listen, I think the breakoff, Ben, is super important. We've talked about breakoffs and how it can really set the tone for a round. It looks like London was able to break on in a little bit. But it's just wasting time if you're Paris. You're able to get kills, able to push them back in their base a little bit, able to draw out the time limit. London looks like they have streaks here. What are your thoughts on the streak usage? Looks like somebody went down.
I didn't mind the first streak he used. The second streak, he kind of didn't really get much from it, to be honest. This is just a weird round five. Like, Paris had a really good start. They got slayed out, like, almost after, like, the second wave of kills there. And they basically had to hold last stand to A, which they were able to pull off. It was definitely one of the weirder raid controls I've watched this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like London, they were able to get themselves on this B point, though. They end up capping it, and they just can't capitalize on the A point. They got a minute 15, and Paris are just able to hold on strong here, I guess, no? Because I didn't watch this.
There wasn't a lot of – London tries this kind of mid-push. This is sort of probably their best look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a 3v4 setup from Paris, and just – really good plays in circle from Zap and Maddie, and then they get kind of set up in the spawn trap. This is a streak right here. Afro calls it in, and look, like, the problem with the streak is now Scraff has made his way into Art. He's going to be able to finesse around. You're not really going to be able to – he's going to get a kill on Aqua here with the streak.
Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. Just, I mean,
I think
– there's no one to really kill.
I think this is just one of those panic situations. Like, he just went on a 9 spree to pick us up. Like, he overlapped his streak. So once he picks them up, he's just like, oh, spawn. Yo, I got streaks. I'm going to pop it as soon as I spawn up. That's exactly what the comms are definitely sounding like. 100%. It's just the only thing is his teammates didn't have any control. So if they run into Art, they're going to be able to get set up freely. And then that's where the streak usage really hurt them.
But it was.
I mean, it was a 6v6, too. Kills were down on that situation.
He was able to pick up that kill top laundry, and they were able to get onto that point for a split second. But they ended up falling again, like right here. I guess it was just the nades. I don't know if they didn't have trophies or what, but, I mean, the streak opened it up a little bit. It definitely spread out throughout the map a little bit, but the main thing for me is just there's no routes being taken on the map. I mean, London Cap B, they have a minute 15, a minute 30. Take a route. You know, hit mid, hit around, like, laundry and stuff. Try and keep London on their toes, or try and keep Paris on their
they
toes.
They were middle before this, Tom. They were just coming off that.
I'm saying push through kitchen, work the back, like, throw shimmies, like... Like, hit from every angle, because it just makes the team have to turn around, pick up different things. It makes things a little bit more sporadic. Because if you just try and challenge through pillars and try and challenge through Art, listen, I understand you're coming through mid, but it's not easy to come through mid and come through pillars and shit on people on those head glitches and stuff. So maybe just a little bit more unorthodox, you know, a little bit more unpredictable. And I think they might be able to break that. They had a lot of time. They did the hard part. They ended up getting the B point. They just couldn't capitalize. But then we go into an apocalypse hard point. Ben.
This map was amazing.
Was it? This was a good map. It looks like London has a lead here. What the fuck happened, Jay?
All right.
What's going on?
This is kind of the turning point. I don't know if you remember this, Shay. So London basically like kind of flipped them out in the P5.
Mm-hmm.
And they were set up to kind of like flip them again for the P2. I saw this situation go down. And I'm like, London's winning this map easy. Like, this is about to be a mega blowout. And then watch what happens. They're going to push up and go all four dead. And Paris is going to actually be able to get a really good mid setup. They parlay this into really good P2 time, and they're able to get back in the game.
Interesting. I like the idea here from London. They're trying to push throughout the kills, but Paris, they stay disciplined. They know how important those P2 spawns are. And we also know how easy it is to make a comeback on Apocalypse. I mean, I know the scoreline looks kind of crazy right now, but it's really not that drastic. I mean, Zinni was saying it the other day, right? Toronto was up 100 points. He goes, there's no way they lose this. But in my head, I'm like, Zin, two hills, two good chains, and that's 120 points. Maybe not all of it. You know, maybe it might get a little mixy, but there you go, 100 points right there. You know, all it takes is two hills, and you're back. You know what I'm saying? So as long as teams stay relaxed and stay composed, they can always make the comeback. And I think that's what Paris did, at least by the looks of it, you know? So just good plays out of them that they're able to push a map number five. But was there a turning point, Ben, here when Paris tied it up?
Well, I didn't notice this, but watch number three and number seven.
Oh, so they lost.
And this
the
top TV gunfight from Aqua kind of gunshotty off the cliff, and then the rest of his team coming up with spawns. That was a huge turning point in this game because they're going to be able to collapse. Alex actually going to, at some point, pitch through middle here. Yeah, number four, watch. So Alex can try and go for the home run play, but his teammates aren't able to stay alive. This would have been a really good play if they were able to kind of stall for a sec because no one from Paris is watching left. Mm-hmm. Instead, someone from Paris spawns out too. Mm-hmm. They're able to get these kills and kind of work the 1v1 there.
I like the idea.
At this point,
then
Paris gets it back in it.
Good idea from Alex. Bad execution by the rest of the team. I mean, he's got to be screaming to stay alive, and maybe he was because, a lot of times, you could be screaming it, but people don't want to listen, you know? So maybe he was telling him to stay up, that he's behind him, but they ended up all falling before he even made an altercation. So, I don't know what was going on there. It's little things, right? Those are like the little things that you don't see some of the top teams make. Like, I think a top team, they would have let Alex initiate that. And it ended up falling apart for them there. And then here, I think Zapdos, he ends up getting some streaks. It was London who get themselves over to that P4 hill, but it's the streaks that come raining down.
Yeah,
but
he actually doesn't get anything with the streak.
Yeah,
they actually
doesn't.
Just get all the kills after it. It was a super weird situation.
Well, because then, the streak pushes them back in, though. Yep. Even if he doesn't get anything with it, it still does something. You force them to back up. You force them to give up their positioning. So even though he didn't connect with any kills, he was able to let his team get onto that point and get into those positions to pick up some kills. So that's just
and this Donnie makes this play right here to
Donnie
win the game.
Donnie makes a huge play here, yeah. This is a GG moment where London's going to get flipped out and then Paris is going to get all his time.
Donnie Temp switching lanes, the marksman. You know what he brings to the fucking table. He went a little rogue in that map number two. But here, he looks like he's making plays, dipping and weaving. What the fuck are London even looking at, though? Because why aren't they looking at the back? They gave it up.
Yeah.
You know that
at least one person's coming off old.
Yeah, they shot at him, too. It's not like
they knew
the
he
guy
was there,
completely
Jay.
Forgot him. Yeah, like number four. He had to pick up the backside, so I completely understand. But
the guys in
Hill,
why are two
here.
Guys looking at front, though? That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know,
they
Alex
had,
is getting
the credit set up.
Alex is fucked. Listen, he's getting swarmed by three guys. I'm sure he's calling it out. And Donnie just got a kill there. They have to know he's here. Maybe they thought he jumped up, but they weren't even looking at top.
I mean, to be honest, for London, they just don't have enough men here. I mean, look where number one is. There's not many
ben,
different
play
ways
it out.
No, he just spawned there. He just spawned all the way across.
I know, but I'm just saying with the way this unfolds, they're gonna end up having to watch front and the back pinch. This is not, what I mean.
It's not the
maybe number two
situation.
Can kind of help out and like work the back. It's the only thing I can think of that like would kind of help here. But like they're not set up for success with the number of men they have to kind of engage the situation.
I don't know. I don't think they should both be looking front there, especially with their teammates spawning out and coming front.
Yeah.
He can pinch that on in. Somebody needs to look at the back door, especially knowing Donnie's just there. That's definitely a mess up there from London. They definitely could have brought this one back. But listen, Paris end up with the break. Donnie makes a good heads of play. And that's also just good play out of Don. He finds the gap. He's able to make the play, hit the flank, and pop a two-piece in the back on Hill. So it's a good play out of Big Don. You know, he's doing his thing. We end up pushing it to a map number five. And I heard things got really, really crazy here.
I don't even know how this game was this close because Paris, they were playing so bad. They ran into Alex in the same spot twice and got two-piece twice.
Oh, no. Alex
like,
is piecing
how?
Him up. Alex
I,
piecing him up.
I didn't understand. Like their play calls on this map were just terrible. I don't even know how it went to a round 11, but...
Was it just individual plays from London?
Yeah,
like
it was a whole bunch
choking?
Of individual plays. So, like, as we get deeper into this, there was one round where Donnie hits the super ultra mega flank. I'm pretty sure him and Aqua took turns being Michael Phelps on this map. Mm-hmm. They were jumping into the water, swimming on the flank. But when Donnie was the player, he was watching the flank, and he decides to push through B-bomb. And then once he pushes through that B-bomb, he finds himself getting a kill on the opposite side, but all the way in the back. And he's in that position outside of, like, B, over the jump wall.
Mm-hmm.
while they're just defusing the bomb because they eliminated Aqua from water. They know that Donnie's all the way across the map. They know the other guy's top balcony. They just immediately hopped the bomb. It made no sense. Like, if Don would have stayed at driveway, I feel like it would have been definitely been more beneficial. You could watch the bomb from there, play a little safer. Or if you're going to hit that flank, you got to go a lot quicker after you get that kill. You can't just stay there.
Yeah, no, 100%. We just saw the two-piece from Alex there, too. Just no trades at all. But Paris, able to win the round to bring it back a little bit. I think this one ends up getting pushed to around 11. I'm really curious to see what happens there. But Paris, they're on the offense here. How do they end up bringing this to around 11? What do they do here? They just work a spread, work some picks? Because they also lost 1-2. So it's a 3v3. Some trades are coming in. Donnie goes down. Paul X goes down for London.
Zep actually gets in a really good, they get a really good crossfire with this post plant. Zep's able to just kind of watch all
the
middle.
I'm surprised too. London, why is London completely chalking up the A site?
It's because Zapdius, early in this round, he caused hella noise at that B-bomb, so he forced them to rotate.
Okay. So good plays. I mean, I've been saying this a lot, and I was saying it in the Optic LA Thieves series, and I want to talk about it a little bit now. Teams got to stop biting on that rotation. If they hear noise at another site, they shouldn't just all rotate back. Like, somebody should always stay holding a site until they 100% know that they're hitting that site. And they're gonna try.
I have another rule too, Tom. Why are people unable to stay alive boat now? I swear, like,
I don't know.
The
people always
get played. People are getting gunned now because they're over peeking in boat.
I don't know.
They're
man.
Just like using like the, you know, by propellers and just staying alive under.
Yeah, maybe people are just learning how to win that fight. But I mean, it's definitely a god spot, man. It's a really good heady. I mean, you just gotta stay down and then pop up and pretty much snake the heady, and you could probably just take him out. But I think a lot of people now know that it's such a predictable spot. People are playing for it. They're hitting long routes. They're trying to pinch on in, use their tags. Like, people are getting smarter now, so they're just knowing how to get people out of spots. That's usually what happens as the game goes on. But
this round
is wild. So a couple things I kind of want to focus
on. I saw it around 11. This is when I started watching.
I think, to be honest, with this round, and I don't know how you feel, Jay, I feel like what really screwed Paris this round is that Scraps doesn't get one with the buffs over here.
100%.
He's gotta get at least one trade in this situation.
You gotta get one! Zap is literally giving you comms. There's multiple people at Garage. You gotta be able to save him or at least trade it.
Because they're set up good. Look at Aqua. I mean, he's gonna take forever to hit this flank as Jay discussed, but if Scraps gets one and like neutralizes this, they're gonna kinda have them pinned because they can't go to where Yuli ends up being, which is on docks. In the god spot. Instead, they kinda like just get all full site control. And Scraps doesn't really have a chance. I mean, if he had gotten one of these kills.
I wonder what he was looking at right there. Was he looking top purple or something?
Good question.
I think he's looking up
right
now.
He was. But you should. Yeah. The comms has to be there. Like, Zapdius has got to tell you. Like, yo, there's two people low.
Yeah, I mean, he throws one shit. As soon as he throws the shimmy and he goes, there's two on me.
Yep.
You know, you got to hit it. You know, you got to shimmy it. And then Maddie ends up just laying down back here trying to stay alive. He couldn't get anything going here. He just couldn't get anything going. And then
but
I
look,
think
at look at how long Aqua took the flank. Like, the round is a minute and 30 seconds. By the time he gets to this head glitch, there's 15 seconds left.
Yeah.
And they lose this 3v2, which is mind-blowing to me because they have all the prime positions for this post plan. And they just play ring around the rosy with these two guys. They just overcomplicate this so much.
But listen, even now, in a 2v3 situation, 35 seconds left on the clock, London, right now, they just have to – they're very well separated. You know, London's not even together right now. They're all over the map. I love the play out of Afro to hit the wrap and come in from behind because London just, or Paris just can't keep track of him. They don't know where he's at. Paul X wins a big one.
He just finessed that one, too.
He finesses. You know, he wins a big one-on-one purple. You can see it. He was top purple. Well, he hit the jump down, didn't he? He jumped off the bout. He flanked Donnie, and then he runs. He goes right back to the heady, and he takes over the heady. So now, look at it. They switch it up. Afro and Paul X looked great right there in the clutch. They played that well. They have to go big. A lot of individual plays, but I like the way they played the map. I like the routes they took. They just easy.
Paris made
that
so easy, though, Tom. I mean, it's just a lot of each player on the team is doing something different when they should just be using their numbers, either stick the bomb and force London to peek them or try and trade instead. It's three players making individual plays, and two of them don't work out, and that's why they end up losing this map and the series.
And you see the frustrations from Donnie Temp and the rest of the squad walking off the scene, right? And then even London, they're gone. I don't know where the fuck they went to. Are they in the same location? Are London in the same location right now? Do you know?
I do not
know. No clue.
That's weird that they all disappeared from their setups. They're gone. But definitely, you know, frustrating for Paris because they could have saw the winner's bracket. And now I think, you know, tossing away the series, you know, hurts their chances in that. So I think for them, and it kind of goes back to Aqua's tweet, is, you know, that might be it for them. You know, they go to the major, they try and make a run through losers, but it's looking super unlikely. And then it might be all over for them, for their year. So, you know, I feel for a lot of these guys, man. They're not going to champs. They're not going to be able to play at the big one. It is what it is, man. You know, what are you going to do? It's part of competing. Sometimes you got to go through the lows to get to the highs, and some of these guys are going to have to bounce back. And hopefully some of these guys find themselves on a team next year, because I think a lot of teams at the bottom are going to be making some serious changes, Ben. But we'll see.
Yeah.
And then we go into the next series. We kick things off with the Minnesota Rocker going up against the Florida Mutineers. And this one caught me off guard. It really did. Florida's been playing so good the last few weeks. They've been looking like they're hitting form. I feel like they're going to be able to compete with some of the top teams. Then you got a team like Minnesota Rocker, who showed promise here and there. Still not looking like the best. Their heart point's been really shaky throughout the year. But they come out and they play great COD today, Ben.
Yep.
Great COD, NJ. They played fantastic.
Yeah, they played great COD. We finally got a standout series from Priesta, which they really needed. I was just fully shocked by this series, because if there's any map I was ever going to place a wager on, right, I'm like, what team is destined to win map one? I would say Florida, 99% of the time, with the way that Minnesota's hard points looked and just an overall dominant slaying performance from Minnesota, the hot three of Florida, who had momentum, and now we're back to the same thing with Florida. It's, what kind of team is this team? Are they just going to beat everybody and lose to everybody, or are they going to finally kind of get that thing going where they can go back in the top four?
Well, it goes back to what we were saying yesterday. Sorry, Jay, I didn't know if you...
No, you're good, you're good.
But it goes back to what we were saying yesterday. Florida, they like to go rogue, and I think a lot of that's going to be super inconsistent for them. I mean, Jay was saying it, Nameless was saying it. You know, if they're going to be going rogue, it's not a consistent way to play. You know, if their guns are on point, if they're winning ones, it's going to work because they're talented and they're smoking. But when they're playing a team that's playing the right way and they're not winning any ones, they're going to get put in a fucking blender, bro. They're going to get put in a blender.
I think the match versus Ultra really changed Florida, because that match versus Ultra, you're playing your best map, your best hard point. You're undefeated. And you have 6 points. 6 points. Right there, your ego's getting shot a little bit. You're sitting there like, oh, we thought we were something else. And now arguments start to happen. And I don't know if you could tell when you were looking at the player cams. Like, you could just tell. You could feel the energy. There's frustration going down over there. Like, Skies, he looked like he was about to erupt after every single map that they lost today. Mm-hmm. Because you could just – there's so many mistakes that Florida is making. Like, Neptune, I feel like today, he's losing a lot of his ones. And in order for his gameplay to be what it is, he has to win those. Mm-hmm. And if he's not winning those, it's really difficult for him to get right back on track. Because I feel like today – it was just Major Maniac and Priesta just controlling the game, slowing it down. Sandy was sitting in corners. Sandy didn't even go off this series. They were just taking their time and doing the right things.
Yeah, Sandy played. He was just kind of doing his thing. He wasn't doing anything lights out that he normally does. Sandy's a fantastic player. He just didn't have to do much today. You had Major Maniac and Priesta, who just had themselves a fucking day. You know, Attach is a fucking rock. He's going to be doing his thing. But it was the ARs for me that was the game changer for them that just turned up. And it's the same thing you said, Ben. I mean, it's a series from Priesta that you just been waiting to see. Let's go on board with the listening. You want to go on board with the listening and see how they sound?
Yeah, sure.
We'll go on board for 20, 30 seconds. We don't need to listen to the whole thing. Let's see how the Rockers sound, guys.
Tools still? Nate time.
Awakening's on time. Awakening's on
ult. Drop left.
Go left.
Top bridge. There's one in arch somewhere.
Yeah, one can be bricks.
Oh, there we go, Chance. Okay,
so a little frantic there, no, Ben? Definitely feel like things were a little bit crazy. I don't know about you. What do you think, Jay? Because Ben's muted out. I think he's trying to get a new link for us because I leaked it.
Honestly, it might sound frantic, but I think it's just because Minnesota, they wanted this more because they know how important this match is. Mm-hmm. They got that 6 seed right now, but if they get this win, you know, Florida's chasing right behind them. That 10 points can be drastic. And then also making winner's bracket for the major, you get an extra 20 points there. Mm-hmm. So, like, they were just dripping it, man. And Florida coming off of that loss versus Ultra, like, it really shook them up.
Bro, and honestly, I'm so happy for them because obviously, you know, I know these guys, right? Attach, play with these guys, Priesta. I think Mike and Standy, right? Standy's really good, close to my little cousin, Vinny. You know, like, these guys are really cool guys, man. I talk to these guys a lot, and I want to see them do well. I really do. And for them to come out and just give some energy and take down a team like Florida like the way they did, I think it just goes to show, like, how talented these guys actually are. And if they really put themselves together, come into Major 5 and champs, they can make a fucking run here, Jay. You know, it's not like they don't have talent to do it. You know, so it's like one of those things where I want to see these guys succeed. I feel like they've had a rough year. So, you know, I like all the guys over there. And it's nice to see these guys come out and show some passion. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, Ben, do you got the link?
Yeah, I put in the chat. And I agree with you, Tom. Okay.
Thank you, bro.
This is like this series is so funny to me because it's like – it's a great win for Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. They played well. Tough loss for Florida. I am waiting to see one of these wins or losses really be a callus to one of these teams making it to a championship Sunday this year. Mm-hmm. That's like the marker for them. It's so up at the top, and they both have had good wins and bad wins. And this obviously is a nice one to put in a notch in Minnesota's belt. But I want to see one of these teams get in that top four mix and get some momentum to make champs interesting. Because right now, to me, it seems like a clear couple of teams, and everybody else is sort of fighting for those other spots.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I'm just happy to see these guys gaining a little bit of confidence. I think Minnesota needed a series like this. And 100%. just watching it, it was just like, some teams, and you know how it is, and I'm sure Jay knows too because he's competed at the highest level. Sometimes a team just needs a series like that to hit that form, you know? It just helps them with their mental. You know, they go back and, you know, the vibes are high. Attach was here during the watch party. Ben, who are you texting over there? You got a girlfriend?
No. Keep going. All right. I'm texting my food order.
I don't know, Jay. I don't know. I think he's got a little girlfriend now. I think he's on
vacay, you know?
Listen,
you know?
I would never Tinder and do this show, man. I'm a polite
Tinder,
gentleman.
Ben, you got to do things the old-fashioned way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But listen, I think Minnesota, they just look good and they needed something like that. And Attach was here during the watch party, and they're at a team dinner right now. So, you know, the vibes are probably high. I'm sure those guys are getting the chem up. I know it sounds fugazi, but it's true, man. You got to get that chemistry up. You got to hang out outside the game. It's one thing I love about Optic and FaZe and Toronto. You know, those guys are always chilling outside the game. They built themselves a relationship, built a team culture. I'm sure if Prim 6 is in here, he'd be like, that's some pussy shit. But you know how he is, you know. But I think that shit matters. I really do. And that's just my opinion on it. So I think it was good for Minnesota. This one ended up having an end, right? They had to end it. And there's some problems going on. And I think this map, going back to what Jay said, the frustrations, you saw it, especially at the end of this one. Mm. You could see Skies, I think he was getting really frustrated. And I don't know what it was, man. Minnesota, I love the aggression out of them. One thing for me was sometimes they didn't hit a fucking go button. But today they had the fucking go button.
And sometimes they got the cement shoes, but today they had the Sonic shoes. So that's the play style they need to have more. It's going to make them more consistent against top teams. Otherwise, they're going to kind of just get outplayed by like a team like a FaZe or a Toronto or even New York in their prime that just plays super fast and you're just constantly playing behind the eight ball. Mm. You know, Minnesota's got skill players. We know what we've seen from guys like Priesta and Attach back in the day. We know Major Maniac's going to rally the troops. And Stanny's been a revelation this year, and you know that he's got that go button. So, you know, the one point I wanted to make, Tom, is I thought it was very interesting. I was watching a pre-game interview that Brian Saint did prior to the series, and it sounded like they had a lot of determination and focus as a team coming into this. Mm-hmm. Both them and Brett Diamond, who I believe is the COO of Version 1, like the parent company of the team, saying this is the most important match of the season for them. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing that this is a big inflection point in kind of building towards the end of the season and going to LAN, and they definitely showed up today.
Listen, man, we got some people in the chat, bro. We got Slasher in the chat. We have Illy agreeing with Crim 6 on the pussy shit. Guys, if you want to join, you're always welcome to join. Slasher, great win today against Optic Chicago over at LA Thieves. So if you want to join the show, you're more than welcome. You got the team speak, kid. So we can talk about that. But I agree, Ben. And honestly, I like to see that from the organization. You know, having a rough year, having some ups and downs, they do find themselves making champs still, you know, and they're still giving it everything they got. You know what I'm saying? They don't have their main AR whipping out a submachine gun. You know, they're fucking giving it all they got. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, shots fire there.
Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? That's a huge fucking problem. We got Zyro with a 25 bomb. Let's give him a huge shout out, man. You know, a big 25 during the show.
Oh, big 25,
yeah,
Zyro.
Let's get a Y-Ro in a chat. Show him some love. Show him love to the goat. But yeah, I just think once Minnesota took this lead, Ben, and went up 2-0, It was pretty much a wrap. But they brought it back, man. They brought it back because Florida had a chance to close it out.
This is a back and forth S&D. Florida went up 5-4 and then just kind of tossed the next two rounds. Mm-hmm. Preston does a really good job of getting into B. They actually kind of set up for a post point and kills one. They end up actually kind of rotating this and it works out. Mm-hmm. Super weird situation. Probably 9 out of 10 times, I don't know if they're really going to break this TV2. I'm very surprised that they don't get Soundhorde here.
It's a good Attach's route out of Attach, man. Attach's actually able to flank
all the way through middle. I actually didn't see this. Watch his timing if he gets so.
Yeah.
Bro, no, Tommy.
Awakening got super bad timing. Watch this.
Wow! Hate to see that, man. Hate to see that. I mean, hey, he's got to call out that it's up, though. You know, when he gives that up, you know, he's got to say, listen, you know, mid's wide open. So definitely not the best plays coming out of Big Wake. Or maybe he called it out. But I think the two guys on the point are also getting swarmed.
They're in the engagement, so
I think Awakening needs to hold there, maybe get closer to his team and just watch the back. You know, he gives it up. You know, you could say bad timing, but at the same time, he gave himself that timing. You know, he gave him. You know, a lot of people always say bad timing, but he didn't have to do that. He could have backed up to where he can hold both lanes and keep eyes on everything, because shit like that's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So
can we also talk about Tom about the setup that Minnesota have, and Preston was playing so well that he had the confidence to chat this with the sub. Mm-hmm. Like, if he didn't, like, he's 12 HP. Like, if he doesn't win this gunfight, he leaves Dylan in a 1v1. Like that's some balls right there.
Yeah, he's got big fucking balls, Pete Dog. Yeah, Pete Dog, you know, Pete Dog, man, he's the cojones, you know, balls of steel coming from the kid.
No crossfires. I'm taking the gunny there.
He said, fuck it. You know, he said, fuck it. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to take him out. That's what you want to see, though. You want to see challenges like that. You know, you want to see them confident knowing they're going to win.
The Zuma style COD right there.
Yeah, but you got to get – Attach was the one who opened it up. Attach makes the play. He's not scared to make a play to send this to a round 11. He hits the flank. Love seeing that out of my duo, you know, out of my long-lost duo. Dylan Attach.
Your son.
Who also just came out with a merch line, man. So make sure to go to his Twitter, at Attach, and go check out his new merchandise line.
Yep.
He's doing some cool things over there. You know me. I cop the hoodie. I cop the T-shirt.
I cop the shirt.
I'm supporting my boy, you know, my guy. But go show him some love, man. Go show him some love. You know, we love Attach over here. And we also got Mama Attach in the chat, so show her some love. But then we go to round 11. Minnesota find themselves on a defense, and they go with a four-man spread. They spread the whole map. They have every lane locked down. They don't want anybody going through. Listen, I love how Minnesota's not scared to throw shimmies 5-5 and get some information. Yeah. Sometimes you see teams, they turtle. They go all the way back. They're scared. These guys are throwing shimmies. You saw Mike shimmying Green Window, Preston shimmying mid. They have the information. Yeah, Priest here, trying to work some kills. He picks up a big first blood, but it's Major Maniac who dies behind him. Things get a little bit mixy here. Preston's forced to back up. Definitely just a trade-heavy situation here on the B-bomb side. With 25 seconds left, Florida has no choice here. They have to go. They have to go. They have to try and make plays. Awakening gets picked, and it's Standy who opens it up with Priesta as they work the street. It's always the street, right? When it comes to this B site on Moscow, teams initiate through street every time.
Yep.
Every time. That's how they do it. When they try and break, when they try and get work picks, it's always through the street. Why do you think that is, Jay?
I really don't understand it, because obviously if you open up with that kill on street, that's basically going to be the B-bomb for you. You take control of the street. You got that whole deep side. Just got to watch the two doors. You can set up easily. You don't have to give up bomb side or anything like that.
Yep.
But right there, I just feel like Florida just took way too long. They just took way too long.
I hate that. That's my biggest pet
peeve. At that point,
PJ,
with 30 seconds left, they hitting that panic button.
100%.
They can't rotate. They only have one play. They got a bum rush in there and try to get this bomb planted.
Yep.
And at that point, it's just not going to work.
And that's my biggest pet peeve. I've said it so many times. Ben knows. Ben, what do I always say in S&D? Please don't wait till the last second to plant the bomb. You're putting yourself in a fucking blender. You're putting yourself
in a blender. Only Na'Vi and CSGO could pull that one off.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really watch CSGO much.
People will get that reference.
Yeah, they'll get it. They'll fucking get it. But listen, man, just don't wait to the last second, because it's just going to hurt you. It's just going to hurt you. And unless you do like do the impossible or absolutely gun people, you know, you're just putting yourself in a corner. Commit to something, man. Make a play call and commit. Because if you don't do that, if you don't commit to something and you're hesitating, it's going to kill you. And that's what happened, man. And that's why the frustrations probably came out from Florida. But you got to get props where props is due. Minnesota Rocker do a great job on a retake, and they end up closing out the map number two, and we go into a control bend. A Gary.
Yeah, I want to talk about this last play, and then we'll get Austin in here, and we'll talk about the next series.
For sure.
This is kind of the swing moment in this map. Minnesota wins the defense. And you can see Florida's in a good setup here, but we've seen a lot of teams blow the situation, and they blow it by moving too much. They've got a great setup hold. Use your teammates to rotate over and fill gaps when stuff goes down. Instead, you start moving a little bit too much, and then everybody starts dying, and it gets kind of mixy from there, and they lose.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like, bro, you can't just move around like this. You know, you're all over the place. I mean, look at Awakening. He's sliding back and forth. He doesn't need to do that. You know, they have to do something together.
Get all the crossfires.
Let Minnesota make the play. You're on defense. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to do anything. You don't need to initiate anything. Just hold your L triggers, hold your off angles, and make Minnesota work for it. Now you got a guy like Standy, who's running around dipping and weaving. This fucking kid can play. He's picking up pieces, almost 180 Havoc. You know, he almost went rogue. And then at this point, I mean, Minnesota's stacked, and we know how fast that point moves up. They end up getting onto the point. But I think it was Standy who was able to stay alive bricks that just really, cemented that point right there. So good plays coming out of Standy. We go into the defense, and just again, man, Minnesota with the perfect COD. Perfect COD. They came out today, and they looked fantastic. And we got to give them props because we have been very hard on this Minnesota team. I called a Florida win yesterday. Jay, did you call Florida win?
I called up Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, you did call it. You were on fire.
Besides
today.
Paris, you know, I don't know if it was because Dom was in here, but
yeah,
damn,
I don't know.
It was a letdown.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wrong. Wrong, guys. I was fucking wrong. And I know people are always saying Zuma always thinks he's right. Not today. I was wrong today. I was wrong, and Minnesota, they look fucking phenomenal. And I love this one. I love to see it. I love to see it because, like I said, I love all those guys over there. So props to Minnesota Rocker. They did a fantastic job. But let's get Austin Lidicoat Slasher in here. We have the LA Thieves kicking things off against Optic Chicago for the last match of the day. Let's drag in Slasher. My man, Austin. What's going on, kid?
Yo, how's it going, fellas?
Let it go.
What's going on?
What's good, bros?
Big win for you today, brother.
Big win. Thanks, man. Wait, hold on. Give me a second. Let me turn all of you up real quick.
You're good. Do what you got to do. Let it go. Do what you got to do.
I predicted it. That was the nuts part about it.
You predicted it, bro?
Yeah.
Before
the
segment,
before the game started, I said, yo, listen, today's the day of upsets, and these, they win it in 3-2.
Listen, man.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to do it.
You definitely didn't call us not spawning in the first two games, though. And
oh, yeah,
coming
back. 100%. There was no way in hell I thought y'all were going to come back after that.
Well, let's talk about it, Austin. What the fuck were y'all doing in the beginning of this season?
Listen, bro, I was talking about it in the chat.
Uh-huh.
Like, you remember you were like, Crimson say that's some pussy shit? Listen, we were being some pussies today.
No.
And we had a talk after game two.
Uh-huh.
And then we stopped being some pussies. And then we turned it around.
But explain that. What do you mean by that? How are you guys acting like pussies?
We just weren't, I don't know, we weren't sticking to our game plan and playing confident.
Uh-huh.
We were just letting them do whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, bro, they're great Call of Duty players, but look, they have 150 health just like the rest of us. We know how to play the game. We've beaten everyone in maps. Like, there's nobody we can't beat in a map.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just play our game and stick to the game plan.
Listen, man, it's Slasher who's stepping up in the IGL, bringing these guys together. I expect nothing less from Thanos himself. But, hey man, drastic drastic change from third map and on. You know what I'm saying? You can definitely tell.
That's going back-to-back checkmates?
Okay. Bro,
yeah.
That's the thing too, Ben. Break down the vetoes, bro.
I was going to kind of ask you, that's how I wanted to start this, is I wanted your thoughts on sort of how the vetoes went down. I saw a lot of people saying that they ended up playing their best maps, but I think from your POV, you feel like you guys got your best maps, correct?
Kind of, not really. Those are actually, I think that's literally if Optic were to handpick a five-map series, those are their best five maps.
Okay.
And
but you guys felt confident on those maps?
We're confident. I mean, we're confident on pretty much any veto plan we go in with. But today, I think with the Paris loss, we were guaranteed winners, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so we had a little bit of leeway to, like, square up on checkmate hardpoint and, like, test ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So.
100%, which is a good thing. You always want to test yourself a little bit because the more you expand your map pool, the better, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely want to go on board with this listening, though. Skump is 12-2 right now. We don't need to listen to the whole thing, but let's listen to a little bit. A lot of people have been gassing up Optics comms, so let's see how
this
sound.
One was hella long, too.
Yeah, it was long. Let's tune in.
Another one on me. I need to push. Two more there. Two more.
Okay, they're all there.
I got out of time.
Yeah, just keep him off this.
Penny pillar. Really weak. He's still there.
Yo, Buzz?
Pillar?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably
trophy. Maybe one mid.
Nothing glass. Yeah, I don't see.
One help Seth. Help Seth.
Maybe one mid.
One's bus.
I have a set.
One second.
Time either.
One's bus. I don't see time.
Backside time.
Backside time. Glass shot. Glass shot. Back time. Back time weak.
Ross said another one mid. He's going rat. Rat.
Bus slasher.
Bus slasher. Jumping up rat. Jumping up rat. Another one tree. Another one tree. He'll get you time this.
Gold window, John. Gold window, John. He's out globe. Out globe, John.
So spawn up. Just keep pulling into you.
Nice.
That's John.
One more auto. I have a spawn killed.
No, he's planted.
Come on, guys. We're spawning tree. I'm a
street. John weak. I'm just holding side.
I'm looking rat. I don't see planter.
Rat, I have all of P2 window.
I have your rat, Matt.
I'm just watching.
One's rat, John. Rat, John.
Watch
still rat. Still rat. Watch out. Watch out. He's hella weak. He's hella weak.
I'm holding it.
I'm just holding close ticket. I'm just holding close ticket. Nice.
Another one glass. Another one glass, Brandon.
Okay, so I'm going to lower it there. The comms are great. They're calm, cool, collected. You know, they're making sure that they're holding their crossfires. They're talking with each other a lot. They're calling out what they have. It's Envoy 2, right, that I really noticed, just trying to let everybody know, you know, focus on the P2. Make sure we're playing the game the right way. You know, don't get ahead of ourselves. Austin, 18 points. What's going on here?
I mean, I already broke it down a little bit. Yeah. But to speak on their comms, I really like the way they communicate in game. I've always preached that on my past teams to stay calm and have a conversation. Like, there's room to get hype. Like, I'm not saying never, like, you know, get loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to be calm so there's no frantic gameplay going on. I always say that. Do not get frantic in the comms, and I feel like they do a really good job of always staying, like, calm, cool, and collected.
I agree. There's a time and place when they get loud and hyped.
Exactly.
But I think for the main part, you have to stay composed, because then things, if the comms are hectic, that's when people start doing dumb shit. You know, people start going rogue, they start over-challenging, they're not thinking straight. But I think once Optic gets some streaks on the board, right here, you guys just get put in the blender. You're forced to back up from the streak. I think it was Scump who found a gap right here and was able to pop two. So it just looked like
you guys also kind of gave up the back. I think that's sort of,
I mean, the map was pretty much over by this point already. Yeah. We're down so much on Moscow, it's like so hard.
Coming in. This was bad. And listen, bro, Scump has been playing good, man. I mean, I know Optic lost a series, but Scumpy's been doing his fucking thing.
I feel like their whole team has been playing well, especially as of late.
They have.
Like, Envoy fried against FaZe. Like, I feel like Brandon and Matt have been doing their thing. Like, they're starting to really, like, come together. And I feel like they've been a team for so long now that they've been through all these situations together. They know what the game plan is.
100%.
It feels almost as if, like, they're doing a better job now of spawning up and having a collective plan. I felt like in the middle of this year, they would spawn up and they're doing about three different things on the map, and it showed with the way they would spread. And they would just lose a numbers game, and then they're just in the blender. I feel like now, even in Search especially, if you watch how they play, I feel like they're so confident in just the consistent plan that all four players are going to execute. And that sets up their individual skill that they have to kind of shine through.
Mm-hmm. But Optic, they end up closing out the first map. You know, they came out strong. And I'm going to be honest, after the second map, I'm thinking it's over. I know Austin's in here.
Yeah, me too.
Just the way the momentum was going. I mean, just the bounce back from LA Thieves is impressive. It's impressive.
I mean, bro, I was playing, and after the scoreline of the first two maps, I wasn't thinking it's over. Like, I'm always thinking I have a chance to win, you know? But in my head, I'm like, bro, the way we're playing, we have no chance.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Like, it's not even, like, a series right now. This is it's kind of embarrassing when you lose two maps like that.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, too, you got to give yourselves props for stepping up, you know, stepping up.
Yeah, 100%.
And making sure you guys bounce back. But, you know, Express S&D, tell us a little bit about what happened. What do you think went wrong for you guys this map?
I think it's just what I touched on earlier, man. We weren't, like, confident and quick with our calls. We were letting them kind of do whatever they wanted. Like, they were getting the bomb down quick. We were slow on retakes, slow, like, flanking, whatever we want to do. It was just all slow, just a lack of, like, confidence from our side, I think.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you just let teams take control of the map and you don't do anything, you're not going to win.
I mean, that's like, how it's just S&D not gonna happen. Is. I mean, S&D is all map control and working together. You know, you could tell that Optic was picking you guys out one by one. You know, it seemed like you guys hesitated a lot. It's just, like, little things. You know, a lot of little things. But I think Optic also played the map well. You know, they were playing decisive. They were hitting stuff out. I think you guys went down in numbers a lot early. Like, you guys are getting blooded a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So that was, like, a big thing for me, too. We know how important first bloods are in S&D. I mean, if you're constantly getting blooded, I mean, if a good team is going to just buddy up, use their numbers, and it's going to be difficult to clutch up. So I felt like you guys are constantly at a disadvantage trying to clutch up. But that's also, you know, you got to give props to Optic for just working the map and picking you guys out one by one. But Ben, Jay, anything that caught your eye here in this map?
Nah, this was a slaughter.
Yeah, there's a slot. I mean, in some moments, I showed one where he got a couple pieces, but it's a couple pieces short of a full combo to win the round. And, I mean, I agree with Tom. After I saw this map, I was like, well, this might be a quick 3-0, but it was impressive to see you guys come back on that checkmate control, grab some momentum, take it to a fourth map.
That conversation must have been real good, Austin, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't know what
to lose
said.
Two maps like this, I would have been sitting there like, God damn, there's no way.
And then Scump, right? The king, I mean, yeah.
I don't know. That it just started off, like I said, we just were all frustrated. And we're like, bro, like, we're not even... Like, and the thing is, too, is, like, this match, like, the only thing that matters is 10 CDL points. We're already in winners. We have nothing to lose. Like, it just didn't seem like we were trying to, like, win. We were playing to not lose. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the worst.
I was like, bro, we're playing a video game at the end of the day, man. Like, let's just go out and play, like, and give it our all. If we lose, all right, we could talk about it and fix it for the next time. But I'd rather lose fighting than what we were doing.
Right, make
like,
plays.
They were, yeah,
make
like,
plays.
They were playing the game well, but, like, we also weren't even putting up a fight. You know what I mean? The first two maps. So that's kind of, we just had like a good, like 3-minute conversation, all frustrated, but like, I don't know. I guess it worked. Like,
You know, it definitely worked. And I mean, listen, then we go to a checkmate control. And this is where the momentum starts to swing. The first couple of defenses, I think Optic won their defense. You guys won your defense. You guys went back to defense. It was all defense to start things off. I think both teams did a great job pinning teams in the back, getting people in that spawn trap. Jaws was doing a great job in playing, just kind of bouncing around, picking up kills. I think Jaws is staying alive. But it was this offense where you guys, I think it was Draza who got pushed up on A, was able to find a couple kills. It led you guys onto that site. You guys were able to work a stack. And then you guys do a great job holding your lanes and keeping that map control and staying patient. You know, not over-challenged, just picking up some kills. And then once you guys get a clean dead, I think it was somebody from Optic trying to make a play from the wing, but you guys picked up the kid flanking and worked the stack. And, I mean, that point just goes up so quick. Yeah. You guys did a great job to bounce back, you know, winning that offense and just flipping the momentum a little bit, because that's all you guys needed. It starts with one. If you're going to do the reverse sweep, it starts with one. It looked like you guys calmed down a little bit and just started making plays. And that was the big thing for me. But I definitely want to give some credit to Draza, because Draza, Austin, tell me a little bit about Draza and what it's like playing with him, because this kid can play, man. I feel like he's a really good player. His comms sound great when you guys are in listenings and stuff. What is it about this kid that you really like?
I mean, I just really like the passion he brings. Obviously, like a new guy to the scene, so he's really like working hard the entire time.
Yeah.
He's fun to play with. He's always down to play anything like S&D, Chow's, 8, stuff like that. And he's like a sponge too. He just listens. He also gives input, which a lot of new guys don't like to give input. But like, I always try to make it like, some people have this weird thing where I like don't let new people talk. I want to make people as comfortable as possible. Like, obviously, I want to have a system in place and play it as a team, but that system comes about like the team agreeing, not just me saying what to do. So he comes with his own ideas and new approach that, and he's a different way of thinking than I do, because I've been around for so long, you know? So I'm happy that he like is confident enough to speak up and say like, yo, I think in S&D we should do this instead, or playing this wrong. So
was
really
he doing that? Was he doing that like even after he went 0-7 on map 2? Because I'm telling you, this kid's young. And he knows that this is a big match. You're going up against Optic.
Yeah.
Everybody knows those feelings, especially when you go up against those fools. But, like, for him to come back off that and then have the two maps that he did, like, I saw his tweet. He said, checkmate is mine, baby. Don't play me on checkmate.
I don't even know.
Facts, man. He was all over the place.
Wait, Zach, did you even know you dropped a donut? Oh, he knew. Okay. I didn't know.
He was an
he
agent
didn't make
out
it
there.
Seem like he knew.
Yeah,
so.
Every player knows when they drop a donut. They know.
Yeah, 100%. It hurts
nah, this
soul.
Game, though, sometimes he's lying to you, bro. You think you got some kills because you have some Ikeas on the board and you just ain't got nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
true. Because you don't know sometimes if you're not paying attention to it.
But he definitely didn't make it apparent, so I wasn't worried or anything like that. He wasn't worried, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys are also getting mopped. You could say what all you want about the donut, but it's not like you guys are doing anything as a team.
If the game's not close, bro, everyone's playing bad.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, he dropped the donut, but you guys got 6-1 mopped. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that's usually how it goes. Like, there was a couple donuts in my career I dropped where we got 6-0, and I was like, listen, we're getting shit on.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do anything here. You know, everybody's dying. I'm getting swarmed. Like, sometimes things aren't going your way. That's just how S&D is. But, you know, everybody, the 007s are being spammed and shit. Everybody was saying, welcome to the agency, you know, but that's how people are. They like the troll.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to have maps like that here or there where they're having fucking stinkers. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You guys, Ben, there was definitely some mistakes here, Austin. You guys won the map, but there was little things that I thought you guys could have won this map more.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys were tossing a little bit.
It was right here, and so you guys did a really good job on the second rotation, getting some good P1 time. P2 got mixy, but you guys got a majority, got some good P3 time. You're up 70. I think Tom and I were watching this when we felt like in this situation, you guys are coming off a spawn. Number three, John kind of hesitates a little bit. It doesn't really get long. And Tom kind of screws him, and you guys get put kind of in a little bit of a blunder here.
Because, I mean, the P4, Austin, the P4, P5 chain, like, you know how deadly it can be if you're being pinned into that P2. Like, I feel like the hesitation right here, like, you guys, like, John right now could have been way by. You know, he could have already been, like, pushed up, like, if he took the route a little bit earlier, you know?
I for sure should have won that, too, by the way. I don't know how that was troll. But, yeah, we definitely hesitated. I think we misplayed this. We should have put the game away quicker, especially a good team like this. Like, this is sketchy, letting them get in this scenario.
Yeah,
but 100%. I will say, too, I think they are probably the best team at P4, P5 on this map.
They're
That's why they're so good at this map is because of the P4, P5. Mm-hmm. Like, they run this. So as soon as we gave them a little bit of wiggle room, they just took advantage of it. I was just happy that in the comms, we made sure to be like, all right, we're in the cycle. Relax. Take your time. Work, like, you know, however you want to break the hill. Like,
yeah.
Make sure we wait for each other and stuff like that, so we didn't just let it get out of hand and lose the map.
Hey, I mean, the composure was impressive, man. The composure was impressive, but I agree. Optic is really good at holding these hills. I don't know what it is. Maybe they just have it on lock. You know, I'm sure they've worked on it a ton. I think there was one time where John was in the spot Envoy's in. He overchowed a little bit. It kind of hurt you guys at one rotation. But Optic do a great job bringing it back. You know, it turned into a really good game really fast. But once you guys won the kills front, which... Honestly, I don't know if Optic trolled or if you guys just won some big ones. Like, I don't know what happened there, but you guys just get a clean wipe through the front, which you don't
see
often. That
was disgusting.
You don't see it often, man. You don't
see
it often.
I think we won some big fights, and then John and Zach were just able to get on the hill with subs. And once we were there, like, it's kind of hard sometimes when you're spawning back tower to break the P5. Like, you may think you're in the advantage spawning in the back, but it is hard if a team's set up on the wings and in the hill.
It's really hard. You guys flipped the switch. I mean, you guys won some big ones, got control of the hill, and at that point, you have people playing corners on hill. Like you said, you have ARs on the wings, on like top plane, that's just watching these crosshairs. Once you get Kenny here, too, set up, just bouncing back and forth, once you see Kenny in a spot like that, you guys are all over the map. You have them pinned. You know, you have you're backed up. Or John's backed up blocking spawns. I mean, Optic is just, they're cornered.
Yeah.
You have them cornered here. And you guys closed out the game great. You stayed composed. Things got a little sketchy, but I think you guys did a great job throughout the map. Just a few little things. I think the main thing was just having John, like, not hesitate. Just make sure he hits that route. or anybody. It just happened to be John right there. Because you don't want to get put in that trap. But
you don't want to give them a chance, bro. You don't want to give any good team a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Optic do a great job of as well, you know, trying to bring it back, but it just wasn't enough in the end. And then we went to a map number 5, which was a Moscow S&D. And honestly, you guys played well. This was all LA Thieves. I mean, you guys were just working trades this first round. A little bit unfortunate. I don't know what happened there. Drazuk killed himself or naded himself or I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened there.
He needed the door frame, I think.
You know how it is. Somebody goes to throw a nade, they get tagged, they try backing up, they nade the wall or some shit. They end up nading themselves.
The nade's on the door frame right there, Tom. If you
Yeah. I mean, Semtex is also, you know, they blow up really fast. Like, say you throw it in front of you and it sticks the wall, it blows up pretty much almost instantly. So it's like it's hard to dodge them sometimes. So mishap, Optic Chicago come out strong, but you guys do a great job bouncing back. Again, you guys, you do a great job playing off your information, staying pushed up the map. And I think for me, it was the trades, bro. Like, you guys are just always playing so tight with each other, Austin. So you guys are always working trades and always trying to use your numbers. You guys love breaking through street on Moscow. You guys do a great job breaking through street. I think you guys just work together as a team. John went a little rogue right there.
I thought a trade was instantly coming in.
He went a little rogue. he jumped
rogue.
He jumped out like a fucking animal. But it was you guys. It was you and Kenny who opened it up on the street.
Yeah, this was a big round win for us, to be honest.
Huge
like,
round.
Clutch a 3v4 like
the
3v4. That.
Mm-hmm. And Kenny went rogue. I think he got 3. So
yeah.
Kenny was doing his thing. He was able to pop a few kills. So good plays out of Kenny. You were able to back him up there. And then, again, here, Formal. This
John
was the last
rogue.
Run. Formal clutched up here. Again, you guys went a little bit rogue. John, he's jumping out like a fucking animal. But this is where LA Thieves calmed it down a little bit. Austin, you had a really nice blood.
I know. No, I feel like Austin on this map, Like, even though he didn't put up the craziest stats, his kills were so impactful. Mm-hmm. Good shit, Austin.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Good shit, man. But definitely, I mean, we were just talking about it in the first S&D. I mean, bloods are, like, such an important part of the game mode. I mean, especially when you're a good team and you know how to use your numbers, it's big. But I think that was the last round. Formal gets a big piece. They end up going up 2-1, and then that was it. It was all LA Thieves from here on out. I'm pretty sure you guys won 6-2, right?
6-3, I think. They ended up winning another one.
And listen, this was the round where I was impressed. You guys didn't bite. They shouldered B, and you knew that they were showing face over there, but you guys held A. You didn't bite. You didn't rotate. You didn't fucking fall for the trap, and you know how it is on Moscow, man. Whoa. They show face. They try and, like, bait you out. Yeah. I was saying, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was like, eventually, I feel like teams are not going to bite. They're not going to rotate. Everybody's going to start holding. And that's what you guys did. Draza was holding here. He played really patient. He was able to pick up a couple kills and stay alive. So good plays out of Draza here.
One thing I like, too, is the setup you guys have. Because too often we see teams push the other side of this sort of brick, stairs heady, and they can't really trade if they slide in her. But, like, Zach and who else is on site with him? John are just in a really good position to kind of get each other's crossfires. They got to kind of heal for a sec. And that's how they're able to go ahead and kind of counter this 2v4 situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good plays. Good plays out of them. And then I wanted to get your opinion, Ben, because, you know, you've been a little quiet this map. Anything that really caught your eye, something that you were impressed by. What are your thoughts on this final map 5?
I watched you guys play this map so many times now recently, and nobody can mess with you guys straight. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing that other teams aren't doing, but either it's a retake or map control situation, you guys just always do a really good job of holding that lane down, and it sets you guys up so much better to either execute offenses or retake on defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just this map is, like, laid out the way it plays. A lot of teams play, like, pick-heavy game and then, like, rotating the bombs and stuff. It's a lot on the information, and that's, like, old-school S&D to me, and, I mean, Tommy's played against me a lot. Like,
yeah.
I'm a pick specialist. You know what I'm saying?
You love,
like, that.
I was the same way.
I love playing the info. Like, because if you have the info, man, you can just know what the best play in that situation is. It's no blind hits, no blind counters. Like,
yeah. I was the same way.
I love the pick. Like, I'm a pick specialist.
Yeah, spread the map, work a pick, because at that point, especially when you have talented players who are good at getting picks, I mean, it's that then you just work with each other, you know, and you push out the map. I just feel like it's a consistent way to play the game mode. I'm not sure what I think about this spot, though, right here. I like the off-angle spot from Envoy, but I feel like somebody needs to be pushed up with him. They're on our defense. He's in a one-and-done spot. He's asking to either get traded out or miraculously pop a two-piece. Maybe he was thinking he can catch one off guard and dip the fuck out. So I like the plays, you know, him trying to make a play and him trying to do something. But I feel like on defense, you know, you guys will take a one-off trade like that any day of the week on offense. You know, it's make it a 3v3 situation, open up the map a little bit, open up the gaps, and it just allows you guys to work it a little bit more. And then you guys just swarm onto the B site with numbers. You hit the bounce back. And again, just great plays. I just think Optic could have cleaned up some of their setups. I didn't really like the one and done spot, but I also like that.
No adjustments right here, Tom.
Yeah, no adjustments. I just like the Envoy's trying to make plays, but I'd rather have them making plays and trying to do unorthodox shit and lose than just play like complete bitches. So I didn't want to talk about it too much, but definitely hurt them a little bit, you know, shit like that.
I think it was like right there in that round, when Envoy throws the shoulder, I think he's expecting someone to have his street. But look at the position of Dashy. He has no idea what that side door is looking like. Mm-hmm. So y'all just hit the opening. And that's the way that Chop broke it the first time. And they didn't make any adjustments.
Mm-hmm. And even for a team like Optic, you know, I wonder. Now, this could be a bad take, but do you think they're holding off on some of their shit because the match doesn't mean too much for them? Like, do you think that they're not trying
Might
to show
be.
Some of...
If they are, they're next level. But who likes to lose like that?
That's the way they played the vetoes and stuff, I don't think so. And I think they're in a tight race with New York and someone else for, like, seeding, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Dallas and Toronto.
Yeah, so I don't think they were. Mm-hmm. Like, this 10 points matter. Like, this 10 point mattered to us a lot, too. Like, I think we're only still down 20 on Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're really holding back.
I mean, these matches matter. I mean, it's not like they're just, like, toss-up matches that just, you know. Kenny with a crazy win right there, too, by the way. Hits the fucking bounce back, fucking headshot, the step back.
Yeah,
good shots out of him. And then right here, I love how you guys like shimmy off each other. Like you work with each other here, and you work some trades. It was good plays out of you guys. Like Draza, he's distracting. He backs off. You coming in, you get the trade. I mean, it's the teamwork, man. It's the difference. You know, we talk about it a lot.
Right here in this 2v1, they know who they're playing. Like, they know it's Envoy, so it's all about the timing. You don't want to get caught on bomb and have your guy look the wrong way and then clutches the round.
Nope.
So they play it perfectly. They take their time and they just wrap it. Beautiful play, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the patience.
Kind of, watching initially, I felt like Dashy kind of costed, but actually looking back, they had three guys on site, and Dashy kind of, he probably could have slid out side door and tried to get out, but he's probably getting banged, probably dies crossing instead.
What the?
You know, yeah, go back and watch.
No, I'm just kidding. You said he's getting banged.
I was saying it's like a 4v3 situation. But you guys, Austin, you guys do a good job getting all the trades here, getting Brandon down, and it's just a 2v1. You guys play well.
Yeah. No, I agree, Ben. I agree. Dashy was kind of fucked right there.
He's in a lose-lose situation.
But I agree with Jay, though. The patience to not rush his bomb and to be like, listen, Envoy can make a play here. Like,
knowing your opponent.
Yeah, knowing your opponent. And look, they wrapped the street together. You know, nobody's making a solo chow. Nobody's doing anything dumb. They're just playing rounds perfect, one by one. And at this point, it's 5-2. LATs is closing this out. I think everybody, pretty much chalked it up after this, unless Optic, end up doing
I'm not
going
to lie, bro. That's the round they won. I was mind-blown they decided to go B again. Mm-mm. After we shut them down, like, three times at B, and they just straight up went B again, I was like, yo, no way, bro. Yeah. Like, they literally planted the bomb. I was like, no shot in the comms or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was their thing. Listen, we got shut down at B. They probably think we're going A. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
Maybe they counted.
That's the mind games of S&D, It's the mind games, trying to figure out, what's going through their heads and trying to, blind counter it or trying to, play that mental factor of it. It's, a big thing in S&D. But right here, great fucking blood, bro. Great shots. Dashy gets picked off. I mean, he got fucking beamed, bro. He had a feeling...
Because this round, they played soft B the entire game, I think. So I was like, bro, they're down, 5-3. Like, someone might try to work the street for a blood, because I've been working up the street a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't – they kept peeking it. They kept peeking, the back right, but I was like, this time they might try to go globe or something.
Yeah.
And I think I caught his head behind the car and just hit good shots on him.
Yeah, it's good shots. And then at this point – you guys had the numbers. It got a little sketchy. It got a little weird. I mean, it was Envoy who made a good play in the A-bomb site. This corner's been really popular. A lot of people have been playing this corner. He gets one. He's able to play with his life, so he backs off. But then he goes rogue. He wide chows. He gets taken down. You beam another one. Now you guys got the bomb down. 3v2 situation. Optic definitely got to try and make some plays here, but I think you guys just do a good job again, just working some trades and closing out the map.
Yeah,
it came down to a 1v1 between Skump and Kenny, but Kenny has full advantage here. He has an AR. He backs up Skump. He ends up backing up, and I like the play Kenny makes. He ends up pushing it up and getting into that corner, getting tucked, and Seth just doesn't know he's there.
Seth had no idea. Yeah.
No idea. He tags him up and just continuing to waste that time. And Seth has no play to make. He has no play to make other than just trying to work towards that bomb. And Kenny, he ends up finishing it off. So definitely a great series, man. I didn't expect it to go to a game number 5 after how it kicked off. I don't think
anyone did.
Yeah. I did not expect that shit at all. But it was a great match, man. And congratulations on another win, on a big win.
Thank you.
I think the main thing for me, Austin, with you guys is, you know the inconsistencies, man. You guys come out, look good against FaZe. Come out against Paris, look bad. Come out here, win against Optic Chicago. Just focusing up on the little things, and you know that, bro.
That's something we preach every day in practice. I think it comes down to a lot of, communication and just, we're a pretty new team still. So, being on the same page at all moments is really hard. Mm-hmm. So that's where, the communication, aspect is even more important for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just where the inconsistencies lie. Some maps were calming really well, cool, calm, and collected, like the Optic listening, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the other maps were, faltering in that area. So that's something we practice every day. Hopefully we can keep getting better at it. Yep. I don't have much time, but, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Then the only thing I got to ask you is, how do I get a Gucci bag or something?
I could use one too, son.
Yeah, maybe three. Yeah, maybe for all of us.
I haven't even got the Gucci bag myself, bro. I think it's only Gucci Ken because he was like a Gucci model,
Gucci Ken. I mean, he is very into that shit. He's very into that stuff.
Nah, that's definitely his thing for sure. He's all into the designer stuff.
My question as we look at these matches and Chad and Austin, maybe is Dallas locked? I know you guys are going to finish out third seed in Group A. You play the second seed in Group B. Is Dallas locked in the second spot?
No, I don't think so.
Match?
I think if Toronto wins, we play Minnesota. Isn't that like a three-way tie? Minnesota wins and gets second.
Yeah, they're all head-to-head between each other.
Dylan was saying that if Toronto wins, that they play FaZe. And that if Dallas loses.
Wait, what is Dallas's record?
They play you.
So Ben said if we win two maps, we get first seed. So it seems like there's a couple like head-to-head kind of funky tiebreakers here. We'll get the Alex Penn breakdown here in a sec. But
I don't know. I heard that if Toronto loses, we play them round one, and if they win, we play Minnesota. I don't know how that works out exactly, but
this shit always confuses me. I'll tell you.
Is it crazy match at six? Because that'd be wild if Dallas managed to lose that match and somehow end up in losers going into.
Cap said, "Yeah, that's fact." So I'm assuming I think if Toronto wins, they're just first seed, and then if Dallas wins, there's a. If Toronto wins, there's a tiebreaker. Minnesota gets second in the tiebreaker, and then Dallas or Florida, one of them makes it, and then the other way around, we play Toronto because Dallas would get first seed or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know because the other two matches don't matter. The third one will. So good. At least we got something to play for tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about it. We kick things off with the Battle of the Titans, the Seattle Surge, going up against the Los Angeles Gorillas. Right off the rip.
Is Octane using a sub?
I don't know, Jay. I don't know what the fuck this guy's doing. You know. But what do you guys think? I think Los Angeles. I don't know. Fuck, they're both really bad. So I'm trying to think who's gonna win this one. But I'll probably go with Seattle here. I'm going with Seattle. I'll go 3-2. You know, I'll go down to the wire. We'll have ourselves a match. Seattle 3-2. What do you guys think?
For me, if Seattle, if Octane uses an AR, I'm going with them 3-1.
I like that. What do you think, Austin?
I like that, too. I got Seattle 3-1. I think, I don't know. I think Seattle's a little bit better than Gorillas. I think both of them have been struggling. But also, too, I don't know if I said this before in the past with the flank, past time I came on.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these lower matches, like a lot of these guys, like, they need to be taking these things seriously because
they're playing for themselves.
You're playing for your stock. Not only can you make money at Major 5, but you got to understand there's a bigger picture than going to Champs, bro. It's you being in the league next year in your career. Like, 1 year at Champs is not going to define your career.
Agreed.
You're playing for your next year's stock and your next year's, like, chance to be on a better team than if you just go into the matches and don't care.
Yep, I agree, Austin. I definitely agree. That's like important that you and listen. Jay's been there. You've been there. You know, we've all been there. We know how important it is to have a good stock going into a new year. You know, you got to make sure that you're playing your game and doing your thing. So a lot of these guys are gonna be going really hard, I'm sure. But Los Angeles Gorillas, they for some reason tweeted this out completely random and for no particular reason. Who is the best sniper on the team? Assault, Apathy, Silly, and Mental. I feel like none of them snipe. I feel like I don't know.
No, it's got to be Assault.
Really?
I think so. He's the slowest one, right? Man, so, yeah, it's got to be Assault.
I was thinking maybe Mental. I don't fucking
know. I was thinking maybe just give Mental the boomstick, bro.
Am I allowed to make no prediction on this series? I really don't know who's going to win. Might as well just flip a coin, honestly.
I mean, me and Ben were talking about not even talking about half of these series. You know, we were like Los Angeles, Seattle, we'll chalk it up. Fucking Paris, London.
Somehow this year, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, it depends how the series goes, man. Maybe we'll just chalk it up tomorrow. It depends. We'll see. We'll see if Octane's using a submachine
gun. I'm picking LAG, man. 3-2. I don't. If I lose this prediction, I don't care. This is gonna come down to whichever team wants to try on a given day. Like, both teams are basically in a weird part of the season, and it's gonna come down to just sheer willpower.
Yeah,
I think.
But let's chalk it up. Let's go to the next one. T-Mobile 5G weekly drop. We got the New York Subliners going up against Atlanta FaZe. Obviously, New York Clay. And then ending up taking a step back, Atlanta FaZe. They've been looking a little shaky. You know, I still never count Atlanta FaZe out because we know what they bring to the table. They've only lost like 5 series all fucking year. So, they've been doing their thing. Obviously, I'm biased here. I'm going to go for my guys over at New York. I'm curious to see what you guys are going to think. New York have taken down FaZe a couple times this year. They have. That was with Clay, of course. I think New York right now, they looked a little bit sloppy last time they played. But they also only had 2 days of practice. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure the guys went back to the drawing board. I definitely think New York have a lot of talent. But what do you guys think?
For me, obviously I love New York, but FaZe 3-0.
And let me just add on. Somebody said FaZe shaky with a bunch of question marks. Shaky for them. You know, it's just the standards. Yeah. It's just the standards.
Just
that I
losing.
Like, yeah. I don't think FaZe has been shaky. I think it's more so the other teams are starting to catch up to them.
Catch up?
Yeah. I think they're still clear-cut best team in the game right now until someone beats him at an event. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's just the other teams are getting better, man. Yeah. Like, they can actually, you know, they know the game plan going in. I can have a chance against them. Like, even we played them close, and, you know, nobody would have had us. Like, everyone probably said 3-0.
Yeah.
I don't think it's more so them being shaky. I think it's just the comp is catching up.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I mean, that's what always happens as the year goes on.
Yeah.
What's up, Ben?
I'm going to say phase 3-0, but I think all three maps can be very close. I just New York's getting a little bit better. They're starting to get their feet under them with the Diamond Comp pickup with Clay Step and Mac. I just think when was the last time that FaZe lost back-to-back games?
I don't think they have.
Have they lost back-to-back games in the last 2 years?
I don't think so. I don't remember a time where they lost 2 in a row, and we were sitting here saying FaZe just lost 2 in a row. I don't remember.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen today then, so, or tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. Listen, do I think New York can do it? Of course. Is it going to be easy? No. They're going up against Atlanta FaZe, who are the best team in the game. So, New York, hopefully they come out tomorrow, and they're sharp. You know, hopefully they're playing the game the right way. That's been their biggest problem. Recently, it's just making a lot of little mental mistakes. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I think nonetheless we'll have a good match. I'm excited to watch those guys go at it, and then we end things off with the Game Fuel marquee match of the day. Toronto Ultra going up against Dallas Empire. We know that this match can mess up the seedings a little bit, kind of what we were just talking about. Some tiebreakers and shit. I don't know. It gets really complicated. But this is gonna be a good series, because I think Dallas Empire has really kicked up the last few weeks. I think they've been playing great COD. I think Toronto Ultra is Toronto Ultra. You know, these guys are nasty, man. They know how to play the game. You have Insight over there, who a lot of people were calling Rookie of the Year. Cammy's been absolutely phenomenal. And then you got the other two guys who have been doing their thing. You have fucking Bance and Kleenex, you know, that are switching lanes. They work off each other really well. So just really good team chem coming out of them. But I think it's going to be a good one, man. I got Toronto 3-2 here. I think Dallas is going to give them a run for their money. I think they're going to go hard as fuck and try and take him out. But I don't know. This one's hard to call, because I do think Dallas is inching up on them now. But what do you guys think? Ben, we'll start with you.
I think 3-2 Toronto. For me with Dallas, like, I just feel like the X factor is S&D. They looked really good at S&D at the major. In Stage 5, they've been back to sort of a little bit of 500. They lost at S&D to Florida. Lost at S&D to Rocker. They beat Gorillas and Surge in S&D. So I think that's going to be kind of well-decided series, and I think Toronto's going to clutch up in that game 5.
Yep. Austin, Jay, what do you guys think? Who do you got?
I'm probably going to go 3-1 Toronto. I think Dallas has looked really good, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was a grueler, like, game 5, you know, late-round game. But I think Toronto probably has the best teamwork in the game, maybe even better than FaZe. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they were able to beat them the one time. Their teamwork's on point. I think they have a good map pool. And I just think they're going to be more prepared than Dallas.
Yeah, Jay, I'm going to go Ultra 3-1, but every single map is going to be really close. But I just feel like Austin said, their teamwork is insane. Like, what they did to Florida, only outslaying them by 6 kills and destroying them on that map, like, you could just tell. They don't really got to do a lot. Yeah. All they got to do is what they got to do. And I feel like they're just going to come in here and do what they got to do and win it 3-1.
Well, listen, the last two matches I think can be exciting. They can be shit shows or they can be exciting. It depends on, you know, what kind of teams we see tomorrow. But nonetheless, I'm always excited to watch more Call of Duty. You know me. But let's get into the Reddit post, man. Today I said drop some questions, maybe some hot takes, whatever the fuck you guys wanted to talk about today. So let's see what you guys came up with. I have not looked at this at all.
There got to be some new ones. Not we'll no fucking see, ones man. Like yesterday, please.
Why was Temp swimming with Bomb at 30 seconds on the opposite side of the map? We got to ask Donnie that. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. Do you guys know what the fuck he was doing?
Probably competing for the Olympics.
He was competing for the Olympics. Michael Phelps in the water. But I don't know. Let's see what else you guys came up with. We would have to ask Donnie that one. Who has the worst pro gamer tag? John. No. It's his first name. I think John is a bad one.
I think a lot of people used to say Slack.
Fire 40.
Alex. Like, I just don't like the first name basis. First like names, John, yeah. Alex. Like, there's just no, you know. I don't know. But it's also, I guess it's also kind of cool that they're able to make, like, a first name like that something cool.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I'm not going to lie. I think a slept-on gamer tag is Astros in my Afro. I like that gamer tag.
That one's good.
Right? Like, I think that one.
You like Afro?
I like his full tag, like Astros in my Afro.
Yeah,
like it's creative to me. It like kind of flows.
Wait, that's his full gamer tag. I thought it was just Afro.
Well, now it's just Afro because I think the Astros in my Afro is too long. Mm-hmm. But I think that one's really creative. I kind of like it.
A lot of people hate on Slack's name. People hate Slacked. They hate Fire. I feel like we always get the same people in here that are always saying the same thing. So, like, people don't like Slack. I actually kind of like Cellium. Somebody said Cellium. I kind of like Cellium. I don't know. It depends. I feel like at the end of the day, too, gamer tags are all opinionated. You know what I'm saying? But let's see. Let's see what else we have. Simp might be up there, too, just because you know how how people are with Simp.
It used to be Simplicity, right? And then he shortened it.
I mean, Simplicity is kind of cool. That.
Yeah.
Simplicity is cool. But, I mean, hey, I like the background. Crim6 has C6 now. I don't know how I feel about that.
But didn't anyone point have, like, Crim6ian was one of his gamer tags? He had a couple of different ones, right?
Who?
What was Crim's like? Didn't Crim have, like, an alt tag that he scrimmed on sometimes? Like, Crim6ian?
Oh, yeah.
He's back, like, a couple
of lot of people used to change their names back in the day. Like, Bathroom Breaks. Mm-hmm. All those good gamer tags he used to come up with.
Yeah, bro. Because you could change it to whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I used to put Zuma with a bunch of fucking A's and shit. But I don't know. He used to try and get creative with it. Didn't Ace used to do, like, patty cakes? Fucking
yeah, he did. He had a new one every day, bro.
Cupcakes with Ace at the end of it. He was a fucking maniac. You know, Patty P. But let's see what else you got. If Seattle build around Gunless, do you think they keep Pristini? Think they fry together as a duo and can make waves if they get a solid man AR and a more in-your-face slang sub? Maybe.
I think
I don't know what the fuck they're gonna do over there.
I think if they keep Pierce, probably kind of play the back and forth with Pristini to see if there's other options out there, and then fall back to re-sign him if they feel like there's something better. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that kind of works out. That's sort of their game plan going into the offseason.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Gunless, I definitely think might be that guy that they build around, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's like internally at their camp. Like, I don't know what's going on over there, and I don't know what Seattle's plans are. And sometimes when some of these teams are making plans, I'm, like, lost. I don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. So I feel like a lot of these organizations, they're hard to predict, man. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And I think that's why me and Ben are probably going to be live a lot with the show throughout the offseason.
We're doing a lot of shows in the offseason.
Yeah, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of people moving around. Well, let's go to the next one. Any chance London lets Paul walk? Their mantra has been to maintain a full European team, and there's definitely enough talent to build a winner amongst the available European players plus Afro. No way.
Is it their mantra to have a full European team?
Sorry, I didn't go to college, guys.
Yeah, someone please let me know. Is there an interview or like some statement on their website out there that they want to have like a full European team?
I think that was just heavily rumored.
Okay.
And they were sticking to it until they...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, and they were sticking to it until they picked up Paul Ox, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they should let Paul walk. He's clearly got the tools. I think Afro's got the tools. He was back to what we said at the beginning of the show. I think those two should be locks on your roster and try and find the pieces next year. Keep building and building, and eventually you'll get a four that you like. But those two guys should not be allowed to go off to make another North American team a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I think we should end on this one because this one's interesting. I could read the whole thing, but basically what he's saying is, you know, why does every pro feel it's impossible for the community to have an opinion that is better than theirs? You know, that he feels like he's been a part of the sub for a long time, saying 7 years, you know, he knows the game, he's been watching it for a long time. There's definitely times for me on Reddit where I don't disagree with everything on Reddit. It depends what I'm reading. I mean, I'm on Reddit all the time. People know that I'm very active on this sub. I just think sometimes there's takes on Reddit that are horrible. That are just, like, terrible. And that's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their own opinions. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you guys feel?
I think there's a lot of gems out there. Like, there's some low-key sleeper takes on Reddit that are facts.
Mm-hmm.
But the Reddit's also flooded with a lot of trolls.
And casuals. And a lot of trolls and casuals. Facts.
Bro, like, my problem with it, too, is, like, okay, this year, for example... For the entirety of the year, the Reddit has talked about who is the best flex player. Can you tell me what a flex player is in this game? Because I cannot.
Someone
who is a flex
on Apocalypse.
But before that map was even a thing.
One map.
And then when APOC first started, people were running two ARs.
Yeah.
But what was a flex player back then? There was no flex. It was two ARs, two subs.
Yeah.
Like there hasn't been a true flex in COD for years now.
Yeah.
I also think though part of that is that there's like. And I think this is where this show can help. I feel like that, like, roles conversation has kind of evolved, but the community was never, like, given, like, an open window to, like, understand how it evolved. You know what I mean? I don't blame that there are parts of the community that didn't quite understand it. Like, the second AR was very much a thing for most of this year, and the Flush Roll, like, just didn't exist outside of that one map. Or but teams that, even, I don't know, ran three subs on Garrison sometimes.
Even, like, if you just watch and pay attention, though, it's even, like, in Black Ops 4, was there a flex player? Like, I ran a Maddox. And ICR, was I a flex player?
Because
I would just say I was an AR. I ran an AR.
Yeah.
I think a Maddox you can consider a flex.
Is it because I define a flex as like...
I mean, a flex to me is kind of somebody, it's like the in-between gun. You know, you have the main ICR, right? You have the SOG, and then you have the thing in between. You know, it's a gun that it's kind of all-purpose. You can play aggressive with it. You can... It's an AR, but at the same time, you can use it with aggression. You know, it's like it's kind of like the flex, so it's the gun in between. I think, and then when it comes to like the two ARs argument, I feel like both ARs can't play the same. You know, I feel like one AR is going to be the main, who's like, you know, the main, like the fucking the heart and soul of it. You know, the guy looking over everybody. But at the same time, the only thing I'll say to that, to be a good team, to be at the top. Like everybody needs to be able to do everything, you know what I'm 100%. Saying? So that's why I agree with Austin on the 2 AR 2 sub. I don't see a flex. The Maddox is a different story to me personally.
I think it just depends on how you define it then, because I've always thought of a flex player as like half the maps you run an AR and half the maps you run a sub.
Right.
And you could be really good with both. Like for instance, Pierce in World War II, he was really good at both.
Yeah. I think that's a flex too. I think that's a flex, and I think there's certain guns that are like the K bar, right, in IW. I think that was a flex roll type gun.
It depends how you look at it. It just depends how you define it, because I always just consider those ARs, because like I ran a K bar too on half the maps, but nobody ever called me a flex. You know what I mean? I ran a Maddox and an ICR in Black Ops 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Sam was our main, but I wouldn't say I was a flex. I ran an AR. You know what I mean? Like
right. And everybody just looks at it in different ways, you know, which is why it's hard to figure out, like, what it actually means, because everybody just looks at it differently. But I just think, for me, it's just like that guy in between. You know, the guy who's running whatever he needs to run, you know, just trying to pick up kills and work the map. Like, that's a flex to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we went off on a little bit of tangent, but my whole point was the main thing with the Reddit is some of the takes are just, like, I think the really bad ones are so bad that we shed light on those ones consistently, and it just it drowns out the somewhat decent or good takes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think pro players will definitely talk about negative takes. I mean, they just don't really bring up the good ones. I mean, bro, I'm on Reddit. Yeah. Like I said, I'm on Reddit a lot. I'm always interacting with the Reddit. They know that too. If people from the Reddit are watching, you guys know I'm always in there showing love. That's why I do the Q&As on Reddit too, because I wanted to draw that. And listen, Reddit is a very small part of the Call of Duty scene. Like, let's be honest, like, Reddit is not, like, a very big part of the scene. There's a lot of fans out there, and there's only a very minimal... Like, what do you think the percentage of fans are on Reddit? How many do you think are actually on Reddit?
I don't know, but I would agree.
It's hard to quantify, I think.
Mm-hmm. Those are, like, the diehard fans,
yeah,
that's what
I was saying. I feel like the people on Reddit are the ones who, like, you know, are very into it. For the most part, like you said, there's definitely some trolls on there.
And some
people who go nuts. I see Pro Loot in the chat saying, RIP my sword. Definitely went a little rogue, unmodded everyone. So if you guys lost your sword, I apologize, but you know what are you gonna do? It's just a green fucking sword, Pro Lou. Re-fucking gang, kid. I think Jay, do you have anything you want to say about the Reddit or Ben? I know Ben loves Reddit. He's a Reddit guy.
No, I think Austin got the take perfectly.
I'm not really a user of Reddit. Like, I just recently started getting into it because Ant talks about it so much. Now, all I see is like a bunch of takes. Obviously, some of them being good, but like Austin said, getting overshadowed by the troll ones, so can't really take it serious.
Mm-hmm. I'll say I think that even be a lot worse. The overall IQ points of people on Reddit has gone up, I think, a lot since the CDL started. I want to actually say that I think a lot of that is credit to like pro players and the media and shows like this that have done a good job to sort of like open that door to some of the educational elements of how a team works, how the game works, and like all that to kind of give people the knowledge to make those correct takes. But go ahead, Austin.
I was going to say, I think that even translates over to Twitter. Like, when you get bad comments on Twitter, those, like, 1 to 2 bad comments drown out the other people who are supporting you. And that's just, like, a human nature type thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what been my experience is. Like, I'll get one bad comment sometimes. Usually, I'm really good at handling bad comments, to be honest. I actually read, like, everything. Like, if people are, you know, roasting me, whatever. I like to read that stuff because it like fires me. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that like negative things will stand out more than the positive, like people supporting you. And you just got to take a step back sometimes and just be like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and read the good stuff. And
yeah.
You know,
in anything in life, they whisper your success and they scream your failures.
Exactly.
That's life. That's fucking life. It is what it is. Yeah, what are you going to fucking do? But I think I think we had a great show today. I think we'll end it there. I think that was a good question to end it off on. So good question. Definitely just wanted to get the top thumbs up ones out the way. Tomorrow we'll post again here on the Reddit, obviously, going into the Sunday. I don't think Ben will be with us tomorrow. Ben, will you be with us tomorrow? I don't think so, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to be out, but I appreciate you having me on today. And I'll be on a little bit for the major next week. It's going to be a little bit touch and go, but after the major, you'll have me for all four shows. Cool. Champs.
Love that. We'll probably have an Abel joining us tomorrow, guys. That's the goal, is to get Ian in here. Dick Compton. You know what he brings to the fucking table, guys. So we'll see if we can get him on, and if we can't, I'll be asking around, and maybe even Study will want to do it with me or somebody. Jay, I love having you on, bro. I do.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Yeah. You know, depending on how long the day is, you know, if it goes 3-2 all the way for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, Jay, you know? Long day, you're working all day, man. You're working.
Yeah.
So it's like I told you, whenever you want to join up, same with you, Slasher, thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure having you guys come on and say
thanks
a few
for having
words.
Me.
For sure. It's cool, man, that pros can just join up and give their thoughts, especially after a match. But great win today, Slasher. You guys turned
thank
up.
Thank you.
I was impressed, man, by the composure. So just good stuff out of you guys. You know, keep working hard and keep at it. And you guys, I could definitely see you guys making a run. And then, you know, Jay, thank you for coming on again. Keep doing your thing.
No problem.
Hey, brother, you're doing a great job on a desk. You're getting a lot better.
Thanks, man.
Shit too. You're getting a lot better. So I love listening to you guys cast. And thank you guys, man. Thank you for coming on. Make sure you guys go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. I'm going to be posting all this crap. So, you know, go check it out. Go to anchor.fm/theflank. We're on Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. So you can see everything listed over there. If you haven't already, follow the stream and make sure to go follow @TheFlank on Twitter. We have Gersh running socials over there, doing a fantastic job. Absolutely phenomenal coming out the kid. Command Charity in the chat. We're doing a charity today. So if you guys want to donate, you guys can check it out. And as always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll be live again tomorrow with another episode of The Flank. All right. You guys have a good fucking day.
Have a good day.